1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Just so you know, I am aware of the time. For many years, people would say, you know, I don't see a clock in the church anywhere. And now we got six of them back over the mission board. So I'm not sure which one to follow. I don't know if that helps, but I'm aware of the time. Anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me, if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. 1 Peter 5, 2. Peter writes, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. The amazing thing is the gospel is free. Amen. And it is the most amazing gift anyone could ever have, the greatest gift of all, salvation. And we have that gift. We know the Lord. Now, maybe someone here tonight is not truly saved, but I think probably everybody at least professes to be saved, and hopefully everyone is. So it's a wonderful thing to have the gospel. It's a wonderful thing to know the Lord. It's life-changing. But there's a lost world around us that is so lost, so without hope, and so without help. And that's something that sometimes we forget. You know, we get into our world, and, you know, we meet our friends, and we're around Christian people. Young people are in a Christian school, and we forget there's a whole other world out there, lost people. Some of you work in an environment where it's obvious there are lost people around. You hear their stories and the language and the attitude and the problems that they have. But we have a world around us that is so lost, without hope, ignorant of the gospel. Our country is biblically illiterate. I don't mean just here in New England, all over the United States. Amen. People just don't know what the Bible teaches. But how are they going to know? Where will they hear the gospel? But if they don't hear it from us, they won't hear it. I mean, that is our job. That is our role. In a matter of a few years, in the early church, the West, the known world, or the major part of the world, from Israel, it went all over Macedonia, all over the Mediterranean area, all the way to Spain and Europe, and basically evangelized Europe and that whole area in a matter of a few years. And yet today we have far more people alive on the face of the earth. We have far more ability, far more tools available, and yet the number of our churches is diminishing. And missionaries coming off the field have no one to replace them. Churches are without pastors and they can't find someone. Churches are weaker. And this is happening in most of the world. There are a few countries with some exceptions. But the whole idea of the gospel is there will be new generations come. The generation of the early church is gone. And the responsibilities that the Christians had, they fulfill that responsibility. But we have a new generation. In 1975, when we came to Southington, I felt like I was on foreign land. We didn't know anybody. We didn't feel like we fit in, and I didn't. It just seemed like this is an impossible task. But we just kept laboring and working and giving out the gospel, trying to see people saved. And you know, that It's what we've got to see happen all over the United States. More and more of young men surrendering their lives saying, I'll go. They need more and more to say, I'll go to the mission field. But the truth is, it's not just people in the ministry. We have to be, every member, a vibrant witness for the Lord, having a burden and compassion for unsaved people. There's a song that probably you've heard. It's a very moving song by Leon Ellis. As we look all around us, we see all the fields are white, ripen into harvest, and so quickly comes the night. Christians must get busy. There is work to do. Here's an urgent task awaiting you. Souls are crying. Men are dying. Won't you lead them to the cross? Go and find them. Help to win them. Win the lost at any cost. There's three verses to that song, but the words are compelling, that there's so many people that are lost. You can literally stop someone coming out of the grocery store and almost guarantee that they don't know what it means to be saved. And all around us, they're lost people. There has to be someone to reach them, and that is our responsibility. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there's no vision, the people are in chaos. And that's what is going on in the world, in families and communities. You know, our country is in chaos. The world is in chaos. The crazy things that are happening. Why? Because they're not saved. They don't know the Lord. They're lost. Now, we can just complain. We can sit back and we get angry. You know, we can say, well, it's not my job. Our job is to get people saved. Our job is to see people hear the gospel. We can't save anybody, but God can save people. But we are used to give out the gospel. Our job is to be a witness. So the statement is, go and find them. There's a go with the gospel. Highland Park Baptist Church had literally a stoplight that hanging on their building outside, and it said the church with the green light, and it meant go. The first two letters of the word gospel are go. So you can't find them by not going. You have to go. Now, what does that mean, to go with the gospel? It means you have to get started. It means you have to do something different. You've got to have a plan that somehow I'm going to find lost people. Somehow I'm going to try and get people saved or find people to whom I can give the gospel. So there has to be some initiative. There has to be some effort that I'm going to make an effort in some way to get the gospel out to people. That means that you're looking for lost people. That means you're trying to find people. You're not trying to avoid lost people. You're trying to find lost people. And there are people that are in great need all around us if we just look. One of the statements in Scripture about Jesus was to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Because some of the people were invited and didn't come, but he said, there are people out there. There are people that are forgotten. There are people that are outcasts. There are people that are looking and longing, but you have to go out and find them. So you have to make some effort. That means somewhere that you're not right now. And that means another place than your home or residence or routine. There's somewhere out there that you can get give people the gospel. And this doesn't allow for any excuses. I mean, there are people who've said, oh, I'm so shy, it's just not my nature, or I'm not very bold. Well, there's some people bold that aren't great soul winners, but there are people who are more shy and quiet that become great witnesses. It's not a matter of boldness. It's not a matter of being unable. If you're not sure, we can help you. We can train you. We can show you how you can be sure that you're saved. You know, so one of the things about every independent and fundamental Baptist church I'm aware of, everybody makes the gospel very clear. You know, there is a way to explain to people how to be saved. An interesting observation is many of these contemporary churches, you talk to people that attend there and you question them and you can't be sure. Do they understand it? It just isn't clear. They don't know. And so there is a way to explain the gospel so that people can understand it and be saved. Now, the Holy Spirit must work and draw them unto theirself. So we should not have any excuses. Everybody is capable if you pray about it and think about it. Who can I talk to? Who can I witness to? Is it family? Is it the doctor? Is it a neighbor? You know, is it at the grocery store? There's got to be something. Do I get involved in the ministry, in the bus ministry, or teaching a Sunday school class and following people up? There are people whom you cross their path, and you have to make a note and say, I'm going to try to give them the gospel. I'm going to pray for them, and I'm going to do what I can to get the gospel to them. So we are to have that burden in our heart. Now, in Acts 1:8, this is a familiar verse, says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So you see, it's not our doing anyway. He gives us the power. There's an amazing thing about the power of the gospel. I remember, I think it was a Cumberland Farms at the time. It was one of the convenience stores down West Street. And I went in to get something. I forget what it was, but with children were home, it might have been milk. You know, you get 3 or 4 gallons at a time. But I went in the store. I got what I was going to get, and I handed the man a tract. Now, I know we're not supposed to judge people, but he didn't look like a Christian. He wasn't dressed like a Christian. Didn't seem his mannerisms were like a Christian. And anyway, I gave him a tract. And he immediately, which often people don't even know what you're doing around here, but he immediately said, oh, you got the wrong person. And I said, oh, no, I got the right person. He said, no, you got the wrong person. I said, no, I got the right person. And I walked out. I left the tract with it. You can't give it to the wrong person. Everybody needs to hear the gospel. I don't care who it is. Everybody needs to hear the gospel. Whether they're wealthy and rich or whether they're poor and they're in prison, it doesn't matter. Everybody needs the gospel because it is life-changing. And you can see how it affected your life. It can affect other people's lives. And if you start looking for people that you think are going to get saved or you think are worthy to be saved, you're probably not going to be able to see all the people that are lost. But we have to be able to see them. Sometimes they just drive through a community or a city and you watch people and you think, wow, I wonder, do they know anything at all about God, about the gospel? Are they saved? Are they not saved? I mentioned this once, I think a couple years ago. I was at McDonald's and there was a girl, just a young old thing, and maybe she's probably older than I thought, but maybe 18, and she was sitting there. She had pink hair or different colored hair, had tattoos, had earrings. She was sitting there, like, what are you sitting outside of McDonald's for? And so I talked to her. I said, you know, is there something I can do? And they said, well, you know, my phone died. I need help. I can't get anybody to help me. And you could, I don't know where she came from, the motels. That's where she came from. And here is someone that was all alone. And I gave her a book to explain how to be saved. And I talked to her. I never seen her again. I hope she read it and hope she listened to what I had to say to her. But she needed somebody to love her, somebody to care. Do you see people like that? Do you see people that are lost? And, you know, when you listen to people talk, you know, you think, do they understand why they're here? Do they have any grasp of life? We have to be able to see people. That's where it all begins. The book of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles. And throughout that book, people are going, trying to find people that are lost and are preaching the gospel. Everyone didn't get saved. Some people had animosity. Sometimes there were riots. Sometimes Paul or the disciples were beaten, but they saw people saved. They found people that wanted to hear the gospel. So it's our job to go and find them. That you've got to, if somebody has to give you a list, you know, somebody came to town an evangelist, and he said to the pastor, He said, you know, can you give me a list of people I can visit? And so the pastor gave him a phone directory for the town. Everybody needs the gospel, and we got to be able to see them. You know, you look at all the houses. You drive down Waterbury, and you see all these houses up on the hill. You know, that was one of the things that stuck in my mind when we came to Connecticut. I mean, that was, we were just coming into town, and we're stuck in traffic in Waterbury, and I could see all these houses, and I thought, wow, are those people saved? Do they know the Lord? We have to be able to see lost people. But then we have to be able to reach them. We've got to have some understanding of how to reach them with the gospel. I remember how I started. I kind of got under conviction. I said, I need to be a witness. That's what I'm hearing. And so I got some tracts together, and I said, I don't know what to say. And I got this book, Personal Soul Winning, How to Do It, by John R. Rice. And so I memorized I knew the first verse to the Roman Road. And then I marked in my Bible what the next verse would be, so I sort of had a path to go through it. I picked up a hitchhiker, and I'm driving. And I said to the hitchhiker, you know, are you saved? And I said, would you like to get saved? He said, yeah, I'd like to hear this. And they got my Bible, and I just had one verse. That's all I knew. It said, turn to Romans 3:10. And he read the verse. I explained it. And I said, now, what's the next verse? He said, the next reference, go to that and read that. And I explained it. And he went all the way through. And he prayed and asked the Lord to save him. Amen. Wow. Now, do you understand or mean it? I have no idea. But he prayed and he asked the Lord to save him. His name was Bobby Lightfoot. I'd never met him again. Never, have no idea what happened. He may not be, he may be gone by now. I don't know. But he was a military person, and he was hiking. I picked him up and talked to him. You know, do we see people like that? And when you do, then do you have an ability to talk to them about the gospel, explain the clear gospel message? Then I had a booklet, just a little booklet by Jack Hiles on soul winning and how to do it. And I read that, and I got a little more information. And then I read John Rice had different ways besides the Roman Road. You can lead people to Christ in the Gospel of John and different scriptures. And I read those things. And so I began trying to talk to people and witness to people. And one day I just went down the street, and I didn't realize this is an unsafe place. I'm trying to give people the gospel and see people saved. And we went door to door and knocked on doors and down the street. We went to Atlanta, and there was a couple of guys that would meet out, and there'd be big projects, and we would set up out in the middle of the project, and some of the people would actually get their lawn chairs and come out and sit and watch and listen. And people would line up, and, you know, there were a lot of decisions made. We'd just preach the gospel. And I'd just gotten saved, and one of the preachers turned to me and said, all right, why don't you talk? It's like, me? I have no idea what I said, but I tried to explain the gospel. Do we see that? Do we have that burden that we have to learn how to lead a soul to Christ, understand the doctrine of it? But it's not just that. We have to realize the Holy Spirit has to work. You know, the Holy Spirit has to be the one to draw a person. Now, I've thought a lot about this and evaluated this over time. And I've been to several churches and understand the challenges that they have. You know, we live in a day where there's biblical illiteracy, but I think there was a time you could probably meet somebody on the street and they had enough gospel, enough understanding, that almost on the spot they would pray and get saved if you could get them in the right frame of mind. I think by and large that day is gone. And it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort. And I say this as a church family, that if we're going to reach people, it's going to take time. And you've got to befriend people and get to know people and gain their confidence. And sometimes things just don't sink in. Sometimes it takes time of reading scripture. Remember, one guy came to church, and he had claimed to be saved. And as far as I knew, he was saved, and he gave a testimony. We went out on visitation one night to visit someone. And the person we visited was already saved. And he turned to my partner and he said, tell me your testimony, how you got saved. And he kind of stuttered and stammered. He went to reach somebody else, and somebody witnessed to him. And we came back, and we sat in the car over, this building wasn't even here yet. And we sat in the car, and he started asking me questions. And lo and behold, he realized he wasn't saved. So there, you know, we have college students almost every year. Someone comes and, you know, you think everybody's saved. They claim to be saved, and yet they didn't really get it. They didn't really understand. So it does take some time to get involved. Sometimes you've got to give them scripture, maybe have a Bible study, invite them to your home or go out to eat, that meet with them maybe on a weekly basis. There are things we can do. Or at work, maybe there are certain things you can do. Some people at work have a little Bible study in their break or at lunchtime. You know, there are things probably that can be done if we think about it, but it takes time and involvement. If all you do is you say, you know, I'm going to go soul winning 2 hours, I'll go out on a certain time. I'm not opposed to that at all. I think that's great. But I really think we're in a day where it takes more involvement to get to know people, understand them, and for them to understand the gospel. Acts 20:20 is a, you know, 2020 vision. They taught the Bible publicly and house to house. So we read the part about Peter on the day of Pentecost, all these people, 5,000 saved. Wow, what? But then they went individually from one house to another, and they taught them the scripture. So it takes a little bit of time. It takes effort to do that. Sometimes it really, people need to come to church before they start feeling comfortable. You know, I'd like to see them get saved without even coming to church. But there are, I found a lot of people, they come to church and I don't know what they had in their mind. If they thought there's an open pit with demons, you know, flying around, or I don't know what they had in their mind. But when they come, they see just everyday people that are happy. Someone said they look so clean, whatever that means. So that kind of puts their mind at rest to trust, and then to give them the scripture and say, here's what the Bible says. So we have to teach people, and it takes time. You just rarely see someone the first time you witness them. They get saved, they come to church the next Sunday, they get baptized the next Sunday, and then they start teaching Sunday school or working a bus ministry. It does not work that way. It just, we live in a different day. So here's what I think we have to recognize. Witnessing should become a way of life. Amen. Do you realize that church, there are always new people that come or visitors that come? And how aware of them are you? And, you know, we're not a big church, but sometimes you don't always know a different part of the church who's there and who's not there. And, you know, we have to be aware of that. Do we see someone new? And I think we do a pretty good job, but I think we can do better. And I think everybody can probably do better. Just to be aware of that. A teenager comes, do we see them? Do we notice them? I mean, they're coming here. They're looking for something. Are we aware? And that's one of the things we have to do, is become aware. It's a way of life. When you go to the grocery store, are you aware? You go out to eat, you talk to a waiter or a waitress, are you aware? I mean, we have to make the effort that it's a way of life, that you have tracts with you, have a New Testament with you, or on your phone, or a Bible with you. It's something we have to be aware of. So it should be part of us every day. Lord, open the door. Lead someone to me. Help me to be conscious of someone. And if you talk to enough people, you'll find there's someone looking and searching and interested. And they may not, there may be people today they're not, but a year from now they might be. Right. And you just can't give up. So learning how to witness to them, but just having a consciousness all the time, thinking about where are people, what are they doing, how are they living, that I might give them the gospel. Paul in 1 Corinthians 4 said, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So we are stewards, caretakers of the gospel. We don't want to keep it at home. We're caretakers to give it out. And then witnessing may involve a commitment of time. It may involve a commitment of ourself, of who we are. And so we have to recognize that. And then it may involve helping someone going through a difficult time. Someone may be struggling in life with an addiction. They may be struggling financially, or maybe their home has fallen apart, and we may have to help people. There may be people going through depression or medical issues, and we want to help them. And it may involve that. And witnessing may involve just inviting somebody to church to get them to come. It could be that simple. You know, we have a Spanish class. How many people meet someone that's Spanish, and you can tell that's their native language, but how many think, oh, we got a Spanish class, I could invite him to come? They ought to be always thinking about how we can get someone to church and get them involved. And witnessing means that everybody's not going to accept what you tell them. There might once in a while be someone that has animosity toward you and they're angry. You just have to accept that. That shouldn't stop us, though, because there are people who need the Lord. And let's remember, we can't save anybody. We met in William Strong School, and there was this Italian guy that he was coming to church, and he gave this testimony. He said, "I saved myself." Now, I thought, you know, maybe he just doesn't understand, but I think he really did think that, now that I look back at it, that he saved himself. Nobody can save themselves. The Holy Spirit has to be involved. And the first element is for people to realize they're not saved. And they can't save themselves. They need the sacrifice of Christ at Calvary. They need the gift of eternal life. And so they have to be able to see that. So ask yourself, what commitment are you willing to make? Teenager, what will you do to reach someone? We had a ninth grader come to school, new student, and my granddaughter and one other girl, I'm not sure who the other girl was, and at the Smite camp, they had this bracelet of the wordless book kind of on a bracelet, and led the girl to Christ, and she was all excited. Talked to Mr. Young, isn't that right? She was all excited and got saved, but here it is right in school, came to us. You know, we have to be conscious. Teachers, be conscious of your students and their spiritual condition. What commitment will you make? The Bible says, "No man having put his hand to the plow and turneth back is worthy to be my disciple, or is fit to be the kingdom of God." So we have to just be faithful. Witnessing is not always easy. Sometimes it's a situation that's awkward. Sometimes we might be fearful they're not going to accept this. You know, family members are some of the hardest people to talk to. And so it's just not always easy. So you pray and you ask God for help. But it involves consistency. Just be faithful and keep doing what you know God has for you to do. Paul said, "The necessity is laid upon me." He said, "Woe is to me if I preach not the gospel." And that's how I feel. I hope you feel that way. That's my job. I've got to share the gospel with other people. And we know that he promised power. The Holy Spirit comes upon you. We have the power, the dynamite of the gospel. And it's not us that has to do it. You don't have to convict anybody. You can just share the gospel. That's what the Bible says. If you're not saved, you're not going to heaven, you're going to hell. That's what the Bible says. And then God, the Holy Spirit, has to convict that person. And as we follow what God has for us to do, there'll be some fruit. There'll be people saved. Soul is saved from hell. We're blessed by giving out the gospel. In John chapter 15, he talks about, "I'm the vine, you're the branches." And he talks about fruit. You can bear fruit, you can bear more fruit, you can bear much fruit. And we find the fruit because we're tapped into the vine. If we want to be fruit-bearing, the closer we are to the Lord, the more powerful our testimony. But it's a blessing because he gets to the end of that discourse and he says, "That my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." There's nothing more joyous than seeing a soul saved, someone that trusts the Lord and they're born again. And obviously, God is glorified. Amen. The church is strengthened. You know, there always ought to be babies in a church. There are a lot of churches that have no infants in their church. They have, in some cases, they have no Sunday school. They have no children. You know, that's a sad thing. You go to sometimes to a college church, it's all college students. There's no children, no families. That's an awkward thing. But it's a great thing to have children running around, toddlers and all that. But it's also a great thing to have new Christians, baby Christians. As I said, over the last 3 years, I count up 30 people that are attending church, maybe not every single service or every week, but 30 people have been saved and following the Lord, trying to grow in the Lord. Boy, that's a tremendous thing. Where would we be without that? That's the heart of the church. That's the life of the church. Seeing people come to know the Lord and watching them grow and their life change. You know, did you ever think, I wish I could get saved all over again because it was such a great experience. I wish I could go back and experience all that over again. Well, in a sense, you can when you lead somebody to the Lord. Amen. And to see the joy that they have. When you get a little bit older, you don't have children in your home. Sometimes they can be annoying when, you know, you're around, like you're in a restaurant and there are children there. And it's like, you know, I've been through this. You know, give me that kid, I'll straighten him out. That's kind of how you feel. But when they're your grandchildren, you put up with a lot more. When they're part of your family, they're precious and they're special. And when you lead a soul to Christ, you're praying for the preaching. Oh, God, help them. Help. Let God speak to their heart. Help them to grow. Lord, help me to do my part to teach them and to train them. Don't you think God's glorified when people are saved? The Bible says there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And the church is strengthened. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation. It is the gospel. It's not us. He uses just people that are, you think, they can never use me. And he uses the not the wisdom of the world, but he uses those that you think are unworthy. They can use every person to be that witness. There's a saying that we've probably all heard. He who hesitates is lost. But in talking about, you know, you're not going to see the fruition of, you know, you'll miss your opportunity if we hesitate in giving out the gospel, it's not us that's lost. It's the world around us. Do we see the lost for who they are? Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. If you wait for everything to be perfect, the right opportunity, the right training, the right program, then you'll probably not sow and you'll probably not reap. If you just keep sowing the word of God, keep talking to people, keep witnessing, lo and behold, somebody will listen. Somebody will get saved. As I've said this numerous times, if any church, whether it be our church or another church, if any church had every single person win someone to Christ in the course of a year, the church would double. Right. People would be coming and say, what in the world's going on? This is an amazing thing. What's happening? That's just one a year. That's not five a week. It's not 10 a month. Just one a year. That'd be an amazing thing. And I think we've got to realize that God has to do this work, but we have our part to play. And it has to be a way of life. That's how we have to see it. It's a way of life. That's our burden and concern for our community, for our family, for our neighbors.